Tonight's show, we're going to discuss some of the halachas and minhagim that pertain specifically to Chodesh Nisan. Some interesting halachas, some minhagim as well, that come up this time of the year. The first source we need to see is the Gemara in Pesachim. The Gemara in Pesachim, the Avav, is discussing something irrelevant to what we need to discuss at the moment. The Gemara over there is discussing that if a person leaves his house 30 days before Pesach, but he has plans on coming back to that house for Pesach, so the Gemara says he should do Bir Chametz, Bedikas Chametz within 30 days. This is a halacha, we know that within 30 days there's still some form of a hischayv. So the Gemara asks, Hani Shloishim Yoy Maya Viditayu? Where did you dream up with this idea that there's 30 days before Pesach has any significance? So the Gemara says, Ketanya, we have a braisa. Shoyel and Vidorshin, Behilchas HaPesach, Koydim HaPesach Shloishim Yoy. Person is supposed to be Shoyel Vidorshin. Shoyel means to ask, Vidorshin means to have drushes, public shiurim, in Hilchas Pesach, 30 days before Pesach. That's the Tanakhama. You only need 2 weeks before Pesach, right around this Friday is 2 weeks. You don't need a month. 2 weeks is good enough. Says the Gemara, my time in the Tanakhama. Why does the Tanakhama think you need a month to learn for Pesach? Says, Shari Moshe Omar the Pesach Rishon Umazir Pesach Sheni. Look at the Torah says, Moshe Rabbeinu did so. When Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to teach and educate the people about Pesach Sheni, when did he choose to do so? On Pesach Rishon. Shanem, it says in the Pasuk, Yazim in Israel, Pesach Mayadoi, Uksive Yanoshim Hashay Tumayim Lefeshodam. So Moshe Rabbeinu gave 30 days. So if Moshe gave 30 days, we learn from here you need to have 30 days. We'll see later on, it's a Machlekes HaPoskim. Is this like a Deraisa? Moshe Rabbeinu did something, and Moshe Rabbeinu is quoted in the Torah. Does that now become a deraisa? That's a bit of a machlokes achronim. But the Gemara by us says that there's a din, we pass like the Tanakam and Alekim Shem Gamliel, that you're supposed to learn Hilchas Pesach 30 days before. Okay, so that's why this time of the year everyone switches over and everyone learns Hilchas Pesach, and this is where it all comes from, this Gemara. There's only one problem.
That's a strange riot, because that's when they came to him and they said,
What's even more so is that they didn't have a whole 7 days of Pesach either. It was a one-day experience. So whatever you, well, we'll talk about why you need so much time. The problem with this Gemara is there seems to be another Gemara that contradicts it. There's a Gemara in Megillah in two places. One is at the end of Megillah, the last few lines of the Masechta, and one is in Daf Dalet. The Gemara says, Tan Rabbanan, Moshe tikolem Yisrael, Moshe made a takana. She shoylem v'dorshin, again, same words, shoylem v'dorshin, bin yonish al yoyim, Hilchas Pesach b'Pesach, Hilchas Atzeres b'Atzeres, Hilchas Chag b'Chag. Moshe Rabbeinu came up with a new takana. That on each Yom Tov, there should also be this Shoyel Medarshan. Each Yom Tov, on the Yom Tov itself, you should get up and have questions and answers and drushes and shurim on each Yom Tov. So, this Tamazeh HaMachloikis, we spoke about this once before also, what type of status is Moshe Rabbeinu's takana? When Moshe Rabbeinu makes a takana, what type of status is that? Is that a deraisa? Is that a derabonon? We talked about this in Kriyas HaTorah, because Moshe Rabbeinu was involved in the takana's Kriyas HaTorah. What status does it have? Okay, that's a shaila. That's the question, what exactly these words mean? Shail v'darshan. What are you supposed to do? Does this mean you're supposed to talk about Hilchas Yom Tov? Does this mean you're supposed to talk about the beauty of Yom Tov? Rashi Megillah throws around a couple of terminologies. He talks about the Seiris Yom Tov, and he also talks about the Halachas of Yom Tov. But the Rishayim, many Rishayim ask that these two Gemaras are contradictory. If I'm learning Hilchas Pesach 30 days before, then I'm not learning it on Pesach. If I'm learning it on Pesach, I'm not doing it 30 days before. Which one? Do I start learning Hilchas Pesach now, or do I wait till Pesach? When am I supposed to start learning the Halachas? This is the kasha many, many Rishayim ask. So the Ritva, number three, the Ritva and the Rashba, Megill, Daf Dalet, they give a very simple answer. It's not a contradiction. You do it twice. You learn 30 days before, and then on Pesach, you chaza what you learned during the 30 days. Maybe this is Mamash the Mekar for Chazara. Says the Ritva, Shoylem Bechaz HaPesach HaNe Pesach Lam Yoyim, Afilu Hachi, Chayvin on Lachzer V'Lidush Bin Yonah Ben Mayadoy. You gotta learn chazer it on the actual day. Kedatanya, Moshe Tikolem Yisrael. She mizarzin lo adam koidim ma'isa ulacha ma'isa. You have to do it before and you have to do it after. It's not a crazy idea. This is a simple idea of chazara, that a person is supposed to learn it once. And then I would add even more so. Learning it on Pesach is what we call practical applications of the halacha, right? You learn all the theoreticals before Pesach. What happens if it is? And then on Pesach, it actually happens. That this happens and that happens. So now you put into play all that you learned and you review. So the Ritva and the Rashba says the same thing on Daf Dalet. He doesn't think it's such a big kasha. It means you're supposed to do both. We should be learning Hilchas Pesach now, and we should be learning Hilchas Pesach as well on Pesach itself. The Ran has a very unique answer, which is very relevant. L'halach l'mais. The Ran asks this kasha number four. The Ran's also in two places. Ran's in Megillah and the Ran's in Pesachim. So the Ran says like this. He says, the lav l'meimer de mechayvin mehazim l'lidrish b'Hilchas Pesach. It doesn't mean that we all have to stop learning whatever we're doing. We have to all learn Hilchas Pesach from now till Pesach. That's not what it means. El aloimer shah shoyl behem b'beis ha-medrish b'ayis ha-zman mikri shoyl. The question is, if let's say two people call up the rabbi and they both want to ask the rabbi a shayla, the rabbi has to figure out whose question is going to take first. On that zokt Ran, Hilchas Pesach takes precedence. Kedekaimel on b'shnei tamidim shaylim shem echad shayl ke'inyan ve'echad shloy ke'inyan shem eskakin tchilu l'shayl ke'inyan. Says the Ran, the whole gemara of shayl medarsh doesn't mean me and you and we have to switch our limudim and all have to take out our mishnah brus and learn Hilchas Pesach. You don't have to do any of that. All it means is shayla. It means if someone calls up a rabbi and the rabbi has a long line out his door and everyone's asking shaylas, all the Pesach shaylas go first before all the other not in yonah diyoyim b'tabi shaylas. That's how the Ran learns the Gemara. If you accept the pshat of the Ran, so then this is very negayel halach. It means I don't have to learn Hilchos Pesach now. Obviously, it's a good idea to learn Hilchos Pesach because if you want to know what to do on Pesach, you learn the halachas before. But am I mechuyev mikir adin to learn Hilchos Pesach? The answer is no. Unless you're a rabbi or a dayan or saying a shir, and then you have to deal with this. But if you're a regular person who just wants to learn, and he wants to learn whatever he wants to learn, and he wants to continue his regular limud, according to the Ran, you can continue whatever you were doing. The Beis Yosef in Tor brings down the Ran's pshat, and that's going to be very important for us to figure out how the Beis Yosef ruled in Shulchan Aruch, what Rabbi Yosef Kaira really believed is the right pshat. The Beis Yosef brings down three pshatim to this kasha. To what's the chiddush of Pesach that you start 30 days before if every yomtiv you learn on the yomtiv? So the first pshat, he says, is the Ran. The Ran of Psachim that we mentioned earlier, that it just means that if someone asks the Rav Shaila, the one who asks Pesach Shaila goes first. Okay. But the problem is he doesn't stop there. He gives two more answers. And two of the answers will be very relevant for other yomim toivim. Although the Gemara says this by Pesach, this 30 day, is it true by Sukkot? That we all have to start learning Hilchos Sukkos 30 days before Sukkos? Do we all have to start learning Hilchos Shavuos 30 days before Sukkos? So the Beis Yosef quotes two other answers. V'oid yishleima, the dine Pesach al koponim tzorich liadim la'am kaidim Pesach shloshim yoyim, kidei lahem shiyelam shos rav l'sasik, betachinim achitim v'afiyas ha-matzah v'agos kelim v'b'chomitz, the ilu v'Pesach les l'utakanti ilo of the behu k'chosayim mikame hochi. Says the Beis Yosef, no, Pesach is unique. There's so much to do that you gotta get this all done before. You need to learn it before. You can't kasha kelim on Pesach. So you gotta learn all the hilchos hagolas kelim before. This way you're ready to kasha before Pesach. Masha inkim b'shar moyadim debatzer is like a dinim yosim b'shar yomtiv. Well, what's so special about Shavuos? You have to know how to make cheesecake. There's not so many halachas. What about Sukkos? Okay, Sukkos says building a Sukkos is complicated. I know I put up a sukkah for the first time this year. I found it very complicated. Picking out lulav and esrog, people spend a lot of time looking at lulav and esrog. Says the Beis Yosef, he doesn't know why. He says the sukkah is avgav deka mitzvah sukkah v'lulav, ain't tzarech lulav b'em kol kach dinim. Da'afin sukkah is gan bach v'rak v'ash k'sheira. The guy puts up the sukkah. No, you don't need any grace. We make lomdusha sukkahs. A simple sukkah can be very easy, says the Beis Yosef. U'bedafan esagim shtayim kilchasim esrog shavil tevach. You don't even need four walls, right? Everyone thinks you need to have so many walls. Says you don't really need so many walls. What about lulavim? V'lulavim esrogim rubim k'sherim. For sure, for the first day. Maybe afterwards you're talking about rubim of these lulavim k'sherim are fine with their rice. So it doesn't take so long. So good. Sukkos, you'll start Erev Sukkos. You don't need 30 days to learn Hilchos Sukkos. Says the Beis Yosef, but for Pesach, you need 30 days. How to bake the matzahs and how to kasha your house and how to do all these things, it takes a lot of time. Therefore, for specifically Pesach, you need 30 days. So according to this middle teretz of the Beis Yosef, it's only for Pesach. It's not all other Yom Tov. The last teretz of the Beis Yosef is number 6. He's a very interesting teretz. It's based on a Tosfos and Avodah Zarah Daf Hei. Says Taisus, what's this whole 30 days all about? Because there's a special carbon that we bring on Pesach, the carbon Pesach. You got to check it to make sure it has no mumin. Therefore, got to make sure you have the good carbon. I frecked the Beis Yosef quoting a Taisus. The other guy, the hashtag of Nesenu, ain't no carbon. One second, the whole reason why we have to spend 30 days is to learn Hilchos Karbonis. So what am I bothering today? Well, I'm not bringing a carbon Pesach, so I don't have to learn it. He writes, Kiva de Bizman Sheyah Karbon Hiskinu Sheyah Dorshim Shoshim Yoyim Kaidem Takona Loizazim Im Kaim. Basically, a good old-fashioned loy plug. Eyanachanam, you're right. But that's why we still do it. So Talmud asked me, he said, am I Yoytze Shloshim Yoyim if I learn Hilchos Karbon Pesach? I don't learn anything practical. Guy learns all of, kachim, all lomdus and Hilchos Pesach. If I can, according to this Taisvist, that would be the highest level. That sounds very strange to us to believe that, you're going to spend the next month, the next 2 weeks that we have, 2.5 weeks to Pesach, learning all of Hilchos Karban Pesach. Right? You think that's not the right idea. But according to this Taisvist, that's really what the agenda was. So we have three terutzim in the Beis Yosef. Now, the $1 million question over here is which terutz does the Beis Yosef really hold of? Because each teretz has such big nafkaminas la'alacha. For example, if the Shulchan Aruch really believed the first answer of the Ran, which means that you don't have to learn anything, it's just negated to a rabbi answering shailas. Is that the way he went? Or did he go with the second answer? That you're right, I only have to learn Pesach 30 days before, but not Sukkot. Or did he go with this Taisa and Rabbi Dezar? Very not clear. If you look in Shulchan Aruch writes something very interesting. He writes, Shoyalim behelchas Pesach, koidim le Pesach shloshim yom. Now the reason why this is important, because he left that an important word. He left that darshim. What happened to darshim? Just shoyalim. What does shoyalim sound like? It sounds like the Ran's pshat. That it's a question of answering and asking and answering. It's not a chiyuv for me to sit down and have to open a sefer lenachas Pesach. It's the rabbi's problem if someone comes with a shoyalim. So there are those who are medayik from the mechaber, that the mechaber went with the first teretz that he gave, the Ran's answer. That the whole din of shoyalim and darshim is not a private chiyuv for each and every one of us to sit down lenachas Pesach. Not our problem. It's a shoyalim about the rabbanim answering questions. The Be'er Halacha does not like this. He doesn't think that's a pshat. Because the Be'er Halacha writes in number 8. It's a very long Be'er Halacha. This is the first Halacha in Hilchos Pesach. Simen Tov Chav Tes, Mishnah Berurah Chelukei is the first part of Hilchos Pesach. So there's a very long Be'er Halacha. I only put a little piece of it. A long Be'er Halacha where he goes through this whole sugya that we're mentioning over here. And in the middle of that piece, he writes like this. Shuv Matzos, part of his agenda in this piece is to disprove the Ran's pshat. He doesn't like the Ran's pshat. The Ran's pshat, that the whole Gemara just means, if you ask a rabbi, a shayla, who takes precedent, the Be'er Halacha doesn't think that that's the real pshat in the Gemara. And then he writes, Shuv Matzasi B'Shiltas. I taka found that it's a Mefurshah Shiltas, not like that. Who writes B'Pshitas, V'Zel HaShoyne, V'Tilson Yom Kami Pischa, Dashina Mamila de Pischa. K'ditanya, Shoyle Mechaz HaPesach, K'ina Pesach Shoshim Yoyim. Ubi Yoyisim Avorkein, the Hedjab Halachas Gedoilis. It's not stam the rabbi has to deal with. Everyone has to learn. It says, "Mekami pischa before Pesach, but tilsin yomim miboy leli Yisrael. Klal Yisrael needs lemigmer mili de pischa to learn hechas Pesach. Not the rabbi, all of us. Vagmure in shebeisav, got to teach our family. The Tanya shoylem hechas Pesach. Im kain nimtza says the Be'alocha das Haran vaharashbo yichidim heim neged kol rishayim manhal. He thinks that this opinion of the Ran is a minority opinion rishayim, nothing to be too considered, nothing to take into consideration. Although the Beis Yosef does quote it." And it does seem to be the simple reading of the Shulchan Aruch, the Be'er Halacha doesn't think that this Pshat Mishayim carries too much weight. In Mishneh Berurah, the Mishneh Berurah writes over there, number 9, what's this whole idea of learning 30 days before? He writes, Shari Moshe Amar B'Pesach Rishon U'Mazir, and I'll call Hechaz Pesach Sheni. Good, that's the Gemara. Now here the Mishneh Berurah says, V'hu Adin B'Shai Yom Tov Nami, Toshin HaKoydim L'Chein Shloshim Yom B'Hechazayin. Mishneh Berurah thinks that all Yom Tov needs 30 days. Sukkot needs 30 days, not like the Beis Yosef second answer. And Shavuos needs 30 days. Everything needs 30 days. Shavuos does not need 30 days. It just needs a week. Then this is the Magen Avraham. The Yeshayimim, which is what we saw in the Beis Yosef, not true. Tachiv Shloshim Yom Hurak B'Pesach. Only Pesach needs 30 days. Shem the Yeshman Halachas Rabbis. He goes through the whole line. Then he ends off and he says, Valkoponim biyomtiv gufa. Right, this is where everyone loses sight over. Whether or not you have to learn 30 days before the machlokes shoyim. What about on Pesach? On Pesach, I don't want to learn hechas Pesach. On Pesach, I want to learn whatever I'm learning. Is that okay? The answer is no. There's a Gemara in Megillah that says on hechas Pesach you're supposed to be learning hechas Pesach. So says Mr. Berurah. He says, but valkoponim biyomtiv gufa. That definitely you should be learning the Yonadiyama. What we call Yonadiyama should be done on Yomtiv. That's not even disputed. You want to dispute the first Gemara that we quoted? Fine. You'll tell me maybe it's only Pesach, and maybe it's only for the rabbi, or maybe you can even argue it's like Taisa says Rabbi Yazar, maybe not so Negev is Manazah. But the other Gemara, that wasn't touched. The other Gemara is still in place that on Pesach we're supposed to learn Yonadiyama. Which is why Rabbanim make it their agenda to give, you know, Yom Tov based Shurim over Yom Tov, because they want to fulfill this halach.
When Moshe Rabbeinu was masya them on Yom Tov Sheni, what he basically told them that the substitute is Yom Tov Sheni. He didn't really go through a halach, and right. Also there aren't all the halachas in Pesach.
That's correct.
So it was 30 days before, and just let them know. But really, for 30 days, yeah. There wasn't much to...
I'm with you, I yeah.
But that proof is only Rabbi Shimon's necessary. It's not necessarily, the Gemara is not based...
No, that's the Tanakama's Makar. The Tanakama got a month from Moshe Rabbeinu. Reb Shimon Gamliel says 2 weeks got it from somewhere else. We don't paskin like him. We paskin like the Tanakama that it's a month. So we get it from, if everything's from Moshe Rabbeinu, so many people are asking, you know, how much are we going to learn out from Moshe Rabbeinu? Which probably would lead us to believe it's not a din deraisa. It's probably some form of a derabbanan. It's not a deraisa. We'll see in a second more about that.
That wasn't 30 days.
It was.
I thought they came before.
They did. That's when they came with the Taina. Then on Pesach Rishon, Moshe Rabbeinu said, "Listen, guys, you're going to get a Pesach Sheni in a month."
Right.
So a month later.
So yes. No, but Pesach. But what about? So what happened?
When did he teach Pesach Rishon? Yeah. Yeah, that doesn't say when he taught Pesach Rishon. That doesn't say. 100%.
He had to give them time because it might take somebody.
Yeah, yeah.
Weeks to get to.
100%. Which would lead most of the Achrayim to believe this is not a real Drosha Gemur Derais. This is a Remez. I forgot how the Gemara learns. He learns it from... The Gemara has a back and forth. This is the middle of Vav Amid Beis. The Gemara has a back and forth how he gets it from. Part of it has to do with... it comes up at the idea of Yochum Erish Chedesh. That's where it comes up over there. Check out that Gemara and Daf Mem Vav. We paskin like the Tanakam, even though many point out we should paskin like Bshim Gamliel and Kloli Hapsak, but we paskin like the Tanakam. The Ber Halacha brings down another pshat from the Chink Yankiv. The Chink Yankiv has another way of resolving the contradiction between the two Gemaras. And the Chink Yankiv writes like this, in number 10, the Ber Halacha quotes it, it's a lot easier. He says, Kev Vizal Shani, Kev Ode Bishaz Dilon Bekama Mekoymis. If you look up, I didn't photocopy it. I think last year when I did the share, I photocopied other Gemaras with some Gemaras have Shoylim Vidarshim, and some Gemaras just have Shoylim. They took out the word Darshim. So, for example, he quotes over here a Gemara in Sanhedrin. If you look up the Gemara in Sanhedrin, it has the word Darshim taken out. So that sounds much more like the Ran's Pshat. It's just a question of answering and asking, not a question of learning. So the Chag Yaakov writes like this. He says, the shoylem kaidem shoshim yom veloy lishtamet bechad duch toloy ma beis vad alma doloy svil yach de shas dilon vechemash mil chayr ba vay dezar sham. The Chag Yaakov had a pshat that this whole din of shoshim yom is only what he calls a beis havad, like a group of people that were learning and they were, you know, giving shurim and group learning. So all that group learning has to take place shoshim. Little me sitting in the corner, I can learn whatever I want. That's the way the Chag Yaakov resolved the contradiction. And the Ber Halacha says he doesn't think that's true. He writes to Be'emes B'divrei, I'm sorry, I got cut off, but he writes over here, Be'emes B'divrei B'hag, Hanal Shatiki Mevor Medvarav, not like that. So therefore he rejects that pshat. Interestingly enough, the Aruch HaShulchan sticks with that pshat. The Aruch HaShulchan number 11 writes, Vo'emes, the Yerushalmi Perakam of the Pesachim Isa, Tizel Hu Beis HaVad, Kloy Me Beis HaMedrish, V'makam Masiv HaSachachom, Mahav L'yam Yoyim, V'chol Yochel La'atzmai Rak B'Pesach. The Aruch HaShulchan Taka rules that this whole din of Shloshim Yom is not for me sitting in my house. If I'm sitting in my house and I have a Seder Kavua, I can learn whatever I want. Me and my Chavrusa, we can continue doing Daf Yomi, we can learn Gittin, whatever we're learning. In this group learning, for whatever this means over here, of the Lashon is Bebeis Havad, no, the group learning, or the, maybe it means like the group Shiurim, or whatever it was, that's a din everyone switches over. But me, little me, I can do whatever I want. The Ber Halacha rejects this. He doesn't assume like this Aruch HaShulchan. So therefore, everyone should try to make it their push to try to learn some form of Hilchas Pesach during this time. The Svas Emes in Megillah Daf Dalet gives a very interesting answer to the Kasha of the Rishonim. It's an interesting idea. He writes in number 12, well, if he is the Nira, the Shailim V'Darshan Lama Jem, Loi the Chayvin Lidrosh, Eld im Hulomad, Mutav Sheyimot B'Hilchas Arega. Says the Svas Emes like this, 30 days before Pesach, you don't have to do anything. If you decide to learn, that's great. You should gear your learning to be Pesach related. You don't have to do. If you're not learning, you don't have to get off your chair to go learn because of this din. This din just means, if you're learning anyways, which is terrific, gear your learning towards Inyan HaDiyayim. Avol b'yomtiv chayiv lidrash b'inyan HaYayim. But in yomtiv, you have to learn. It's an interesting lomdus, says the Svas Emes. Before Pesach, again, I have to learn because I have a mitzvah v'gisa yom v'layla. But the din of Shloshim Yom doesn't require me to get up and learn. It means if I'm learning already, I have to change my limud. As opposed to on Pesach, I actually have to actively get up and learn. Besides for the regular mitzvah v'gisa yom v'layla, a person has a chi of Talmud Torah, he has a specific mitzvah on Yom Tov to learn in Yom Tov. Very interesting lomdus shepshat from the Svas Emes to how to answer up these two kashas. We mentioned earlier, if you accept the notion that Moshe Rabbeinu taught us from Pesach Rishon to Pesach Sheni that there's a chiyuv to learn Shloshim Yoyim, is it a derais? So the Prima Gadim number 13 in the Eishel Avram writes, Umiu Pesach Medinoi Mikra. The learning of Hilchas Pesach 30 days before, he calls it Medinoi Mikra. It's from a pasuk. Shari Moshe Mazir al Pesach Sheni. He thinks that people are medayik from this Prima Gadim that it's taka derais. Moshe Rabbeinu did it to pasuk, so it becomes derais. If you look at the Lashon of the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, it sounds not like that. He writes, "Lefichach tiknu chachomim lidresh hilchas haregel lamid yoyim lefonov." It's a takanas chazal. It's not a derais. I Moshe Rabbeinu did it.
What would be in the race?
If Moshe Rabbeinu does something, we assume that that now becomes again. If Moshe Rabbeinu makes a takana, that's a machlokes. This wasn't Moshe Rabbeinu. This is Moshe Rabbeinu presumably following Tzivei Hashem.
That's all two categories. Of the Karyag, of the
Yeah, but somehow, which mitzvahs I say would it be? I don't know how you'd count it. But most Achronim assume, not like the Levush and others, they assume that even best case scenario, it's only a Derabban. Okay. So the Bach over here wants to try to be Miyashiv. Why are we not so, why are so many people not on top of this 30 day before learning? So he writes an interesting idea. He writes, number 15, Kasab Machzorim, the Achshav Begolos, She'inonu Karbonis. He goes back to Tosfos and Avodah Zarah. That really today, the whole 30 days is hard to believe. If the whole 30 days had to do Karbonis, we don't have Karbonis today. So we don't really need 30 days. I guess they assume not like, like the other Teretz of the Beis Yosef, that you need 30 days just to kasher your kitchen and all these other things. And he writes, Sagi Lidrish B'Shabbos of Ne'er Pesach. You can really get away with a Shabbos before Pesach. Nonetheless, you individually have a chiyuv to learn. Maybe the rabbi doesn't have to start learning Hilchos Pesach with the shul till the Shabbos before. But every individual should be learning their own private Hilchos Pesach. Then he writes, Avol, if he divvy a taste by a kamet of a desire, the le'el tzarech lidr shloshim yom af achshav she'ilonu kabonis. But Taisva says, even though the reason doesn't apply, the din still applies. Efshav lo says, tam the man higu de la'acha she'gayim ha'ovein, she'nispazru pizir rabidor mikvarim v'yarois. Says the Bach, maybe what happened is Klaiswa got so widespread, people live in so many different communities, and there used to be, before there was a, you know, frequent, you know, written svarim. Today we can learn Hilchos Pesach anywhere. You have, as long as you have an internet, you can learn Hilchos Pesach easily. You go on any website, any shiur, you can learn all of Hilchos Pesach. Back then there wasn't even so many svarim. You needed a rabbi to get up and give a shiur. Now every community had a rabbi. People lived all over and they didn't always have a rabbi available. So says the Bach, so what happened? So one time a year they were able to all mass migrate for Shabbos. They all came for Shabbos HaGadol. So that's when they fulfilled this din. By Shabbos HaGadol, they did a quick recap of all the major halachas that they're supposed to be learning for the whole month. They wrapped it up in Shabbos HaGadol. He said that's why it's called Shabbos HaGadol. We've spoken about it in the past. Why? What's this name, Shabbos HaGadol? So he says the reason why it's Shabbos HaGadol, he writes over here, because big groups came to hear big things. A lot of people came to hear a lot of big halachas. We've spoken about also many times Shabbos HaGadol is supposed to be a reflection of yedias of practical halachas Pesach. Today I think it becomes a little bit more of a lomdish shir. I think many rabbonim use it as an alumnus way. Really the way it sounds like it should be used for practical, how to do things and what you need to do this year, a little bit, maybe even more so, because this year you have a whole week before Pesach. So if the rabbi would get up and talk about how to kasher a kitchen, that would be practical, because by this time many people haven't yet kashered their kitchen. If Shabbos HaGadol falls out 2 days before Pesach, you're going to talk about kashering Kalim, it's going to be somewhat irrelevant. But that's the idea of the Bach, of why we have Shabbos HaGadol. The Chag Yankiv comes up with a different shot. He wants to say, how does one fulfill the din of Shoylim B'Dorshim Hilchos Pesach Koydim Lam Yom? It's not just about learning halachas. He says, unbelievable chiddush. He says, Delekach Koyrim Parshas Parah. Do you know why we read Parshas Parah? Parshas Parah is the unique of the Dal of Parshas. Parshas Parah, many Rishonim are of the belief it's the Deiraisa. The Kash is, how can it be Deiraisa? It doesn't say anywhere in the Torah. So it comes up the Gevaldik Chag Yakiv. He writes, because by learning, by reading Parshas Parah, you're fulfilling the din of Shoylim B'Dorshim Hilchos Pesach Koyrim Ha'Pesach Shoshim Yom. How do you figure? He writes, Al Kein Koyrim Parshas Parah Hilchos Tum V'Tara. By Parshas Parah, it's all about Tum V'Tara. L'haskir Shiyasa Pesach B'Tara. V'Chein Parshas HaChodesh. Reading Parshas Chodesh this week. Shu'un Yonesh Al Pesach. He believed that you fulfill the din of Shloshim Yom Kedem Chag by reading Parshiyos such as Parah and Chodesh. We'll say Eshtikol Torah, if you accept this, and you accept that Shloshim Yom is a din Dereisa, so now it's Taka Muvan, how could it be that Parah and Chodesh is Dereisa? Parah and Chodesh is not Be'etzma Dereisa. When you read Parah and Chodesh, you Yoytze the Mitzvah Dereisa of Moshe Tikalem the Yisrael, Shloshim Yom. Okay, it's Eshtikol Torah. But that's how the Chag Yakiv assumes. The Shulchan Aruch Rav points out, he says, "Ubedoyres halalu she'en achochem she'en l'tamid of halachas." Today we don't have rabbis getting up and teaching us anymore. The visha kol kaseh b'sefer mitzvah kol echad sheyuma hilchas haregel koydim haregel. A person should learn the halachas himself. I was just reading a contemporary sefer that came out. He writes, he goes through a lot of what we discussed. This chashivas of learning halachas on your own, and then he writes in his akdama to the sefer, and learning Mishnah Berurah is very difficult for many people. But my sefer is so terrific and wonderful. Everyone read my sefer, and you'll be mekayim the din of shloshim yom kedem chag. Very nice selling point to read his sefer. That's a nice sefer. I rather thought Mishnah Berurah is a much better read than his sefer, because I found his sefer to be very dry and no excitement. Mishnah Berurah is a little bit more exciting. But he writes that based on all these poiskim that we just learned, that you're supposed to learn halachas on your own. So everyone should find svarim to learn that are going to give you practical halachah l'maaseh of halachas pesach. Okay, that's one major issue that comes up this time of the year, whether or not everyone should be switching their limudim and learning Hilchos Pesach. The answer is, you don't. I wouldn't say you should switch your limudim, but you should try to add a limud of having some form of learning Hilchos Pesach, whether it be in a sefer or a shir. Get familiar with Hilchos Pesach this time of the year. There's another interesting, we'll call it slash minhag halacha, that the Ramah brings down at number 18. Hagah, uminog liknois lechalkon la'aniyim l'tzarech Pesach. The Ramah brings down a minhag we quoted earlier, that there's a minhag to be koneh chitim, to buy wheat, lechalkon la'aniyim, to give it out to the aniyim, l'tzarech Pesach, for the needs of Pesach. The chol mi shedar b'ir, anyone who lives in the city, it's so hard to read, chol mi shedar b'ir, if you live in the city for 12 months, tzarech liten, you have to give to the meiser, the ma'as chitin campaign. This is what's known as ma'as chitin. Other people call it kimcha de pischa. Now, the truth is, ma'as chitin is not really the right way to call it. Because what's ma'as chitin? It means money for wheat. I don't know anyone today who gives money to buy wheat. If you go to a guy who needs food for Pesach and you give him wheat, he's going to give it back to you. Money he'll take, not the chitin part. Kimcha de pischa, that means wheat for Pesach, which means that he used to actually go out and give wheat. Giving someone wheat meant something, because it used to be, and this is mavor in many places, that it wasn't like we have today where we have commercial matzahs. Everyone took their oven, they kashered for Pesach and baked their own matzahs. So if you gave a guy wheat and flour, he could actually have matzahs to eat. Today, if you give a guy wheat and flour, he's not going to know what to do with it. He's not going to know how to bake matzahs. Matzahs you have to be trained how to bake matzahs. So today, we use money, because money is what gets us what we need for Pesach. So this is the Ramah is the mikar for what we know today as Ma'as Chitin. Now, why does the Ramah call it a minhag? Minhag sounds like you don't have to do it. Where does this all come from? So the Darkei Moshe, which was also the Ramah, quotes in Or Zeruah. He writes in Or Zeruah, it says, minhag hakehilos lahasim mas al kahal tzarech chitin. Not only did people give, they actually levied a tax on the town that everyone had to give. Litein bepesach laniim kedamim perakama de bababasra biyushalm. So the Mishnah writes this more explicitly, that this mikar of what we call today Ma'as Chitim is really Yushalmi. The Yushalmi in Baba Basra discusses this notion of levying some form of a taxing to get people to give. L'chita de pischa yud beis chedish bein lisa bein litin. The Yushalmi says it's how long you have to be in the town to be able to get its benefits. Right? How long do you have to live somewhere to be able to get, you know, whatever free things the government gives? So the Yushalmi says 12 months. If you live there 12 months, you have to give and you also receive. Guy moves in right before Pesach, he doesn't get to get from the Ma'as Chitin fund. He doesn't have to give either. But if a guy lives 12 months in the town, he's got to give and he gets to take as well. So it comes from a Yushalmi. So the Sharitzin number 20 asks, he says, I don't understand. The Kvar Toma B'Sefer Beis David Chelik Arachayim Sem Lamavav Aloshen Ramah Shekos of Minuk. The Beis David asks, why does the Ramah call it a Minuk? Halo Medina De Gemar Yushalmi. An interesting idea. Something which is found in Yushalmi is not a Minuk. That's a Chiyuv. So Frekt Beis David, why are you calling Ma'as Chitim a Minuk? It's not a Minuk. It's a Dina De Gemar from the Yushalmi. Ayn Shom Mashikasa B'Zeh. Interestingly enough, the Sharitzin, the Mishnah Berurah, does not give you the Beis David's answer. I looked up the Beis David, and the Beis David does answer. Do you know why it's a minhag? Because the Beis David is convinced that the Bavli doesn't hold to this whole Ma'as Chitin. It doesn't exist. It's not on the radar. This whole Ma'as Chitin, Kimcha de Pischa, is a Yushalmi invention. Bavli doesn't hold of it. So it's not only a minhag. It's not a chiv, it's a minhag. When Bavli argues with Yushalmi, you presumably go with the Bavli. So Zog the Beis David, it's only a minhag. Now, the Mishnah Berurah doesn't quote this Beis David's answer. I'm not sure why not. We'll see in a minute. It's very relevant. Lahalach. But that's the Beis David's answer. Mishnah Berurah says, I'm going to give you my own answer. Well, in his day, the Evshalaymar, the Menadin, how you eat the mitzvah stocker, Emma, you know, Stim Lani, Moish, Yichuba Atam Chitim. Says Mr. Brewer, technically, the letter of the law, you can give them money. Lahachi Kama, the Minig, what's the Minig? The Minig is not the concept of Ma'as Chitim. That's Taka Yushalmi. The Minig is what to give. What's the Minig? The Minig, Lechalik Chitim. The Minig was to give actual wheat, Shiyim Ekar of Haniyasim. That would bring more Hana for the poor person. So the minhag wasn't the concept of Ma'as Chitin. The minhag was how to give. But everyone has to give Ma'as Chitin. That's how the Sharitzion learns. Now, this makes a very interesting Shaila Halacha. If you accept the Mishnah Berurah's understanding that Ma'as Chitin is really a chiyuv, the what to give is the minhag, so the Shaila that often comes up is, can you use Ma'as money for Ma'as Chitin? A very popular Shaila this time of the year. Person wants to give Ma'as Chitin, but he wants to use Ma'as money. So we know from our many Maisa Shurim that the basic principle for Maisa money is you can't use Maisa money for anything that's an obligatory responsibility. I can't use Maisa money to pay for something that I have to do. If I have to buy tefillin, I can't use that for Maisa money. If I don't have to buy tefillin for you, if I choose to buy you tefillin, so I can use Maisa money. Anything that I have to do, I can't use Maisa money to buy matzah. I have to have matzah. So the question is, if Moos Chitim is really a Chiyuv, so then I can't use Maisa money. But if you go like the Beis David's answer, that's taken not a Chiyuv, it's really only a Minug. So if it's really a Minug, I should be able to use Maisa money. Now the truth is, it's not so partial, because we mentioned Purim time, I think. I don't remember if we mentioned it, but the Machtzis HaShekel. We give a Machtzis HaShekel on Erev Purim, on Tainus Esther. Is that an obligatory? Where does it say they have to? That's also a minug. And that most achrayim assume you can't use maaser money for. So maybe certain minhagim, although they're not real chiyuvim, you can't use maaser. But Reb Shlomo Zalman has a different law on this. Where he passes halacha l'maaser, you could use maaser money for Moos Chitim. Reb Shlomo Zalman writes in number 21, ha-mois mi-maaser ksafim is manenu muta litein avor kimcha de pischa, shegev notzorech aniyim l'kres chag. It can come from maaser money. Why? So I would have thought it's telling how you learn this whole base David Ramah. So the Bishop Zam in a totally different language. He writes, "V'after kaim lo nein lefrei chayv gomim ma'aser k'safin." You now that use an obligatory responsibility for ma'aser mine. Become more kivishib is manenu ain't say the gviya kavua. Today nothing's official. The gam ain't skum kavua shetzvech litin. First of all, no one in this community can hold you accountable if you don't give Moos Chitim. In the times of the Yerushalayim, the times of Yerushalmi, it was a tax levied and they could actually enforce it. Today they can't enforce anything. So therefore, it's not enforced. There's no set amount. Lo yichoshev kichoyv gomor. Shlomo Zalman felt it no longer takes on a status of obligatory. Ulechein shaper mutal efrayim ma'aser k'safim. You can use ma'aser k'safim.
There's no amount.
There is no amount. We'll see the Mishnah Berurah. He tries to give us a little bit. But there is no amount. So that's why... So that's why Reb Eliashiv and Reb Nissen Karelet say it a little differently. But they, Reb Eliashiv, number 22, writes, "Bekimcha de pischa, yeshlos is mashu shaloi mikispe maisik sofim. Give a little bit from non-maisim money. This way you yaitse all shitas. Vahasharev shalos is tvei mimaisim. The rest you give from maisim money. Safest idea. You yaitse all shitas. This is the way Reb Nissen Karelet writes it and the way Reb Eliashiv writes it. Although Reb Shlomo Zalman believes it can all come from maisim money, this is just someone called me mamsh last week with this shayla. I told him just do what Reb Eliashiv suggests. It's the safest bet. Give whatever, a few dollars from non-maisim money. Give the rest of Maisa money. This way, you yaitse the money of Shach. You either yaitse according to Shlomo Zalman for sure, and you yaitse according to the other Achrayim.
None of the posts can state what a minimum requirement
is. We'll see in a minute that Mr. Brew tries to give you a Be'erich idea, but there's no, it's not, even Matan Sev Yoinim, we learned there's no exact clear amount of how to give. It was also a ballpark figure. There's an interesting piece in Mishnas Yavitz by Rabbi Tzalel Zolti. He has a nice piece over here in Lomdus. He talks about what exactly is the Lomdus of Moos Chitim. It's the similar chakir we spoke about by Matanus of Yoinim. You know, is the pshat that it's a chiyuv tztaka, but with a destination? I mean, it's a general chiyuv tztaka. Sometimes Chazal get involved and say, you know what, we're forcing you to give tztaka at a certain point of time. That's one side of what Matanus of Yoinim is. Matanus of Yoinim is just a fancy version of tztaka. Normally tztaka I can give when I want and how I want. On Purim, Chazal told me when and how to give it. That's one side. Or no, Matanus of Yoinim is a separate eschaivus called Matanus of Yoinim, a Purim-based eschaivus. So Reb Zolti wants to taina that Kimcha de Pischa is not a tzedakah experience. It's a Yom Tov experience. He says, I'll bring you the biggest raya. Where is the first time we learn about Moos Chitim? In Hilchos Pesach. Why is it not in Hilchos Tzedakah? He says, it's not a tzedakah experience. It's a Yom Tov experience. And he writes, in order for you to be yoytze your mitzvah of Simchas Yom Tov, you must give Moos Chitim. It's a tnai in your Simchas Yom Tov. It's not a din in tzedakah. Staka is a separate Yerodei Cheshbon. This is not Staka. This is Simchas Yom Tov. And that's why it's written in Hilchas Pesach. It's an unbelievable Chiddush. So Luchari, then it would be. The same Chakir, but Matanus Avyayim. That's where it comes up, the same Shtickle. Is Matanus Avyayim the same Lomdus?
So, let's say, invite people.
Right. He quotes at the end, he quotes the famous Rambam. The Rambam says that, you know, making sure other people have Simcha and Yom Tov is the greatest king of Simchas Yom Tov. So Zalti, that's goofy what Moos Chitim is. Moos Chitim is not Stam Matakon in Hilchot Tzedakah. He says, I'll bring you a riot. One of his riots are, if you look in 23, there's an interesting Mishnah Berurah. Mishnah Berurah writes, today you don't need 12 months, 30 days. Okay, Mamish moves in, you know, right after, right around Purim time. He gets, usually if you move in, you usually need some help. He gets the Moos Chitim. He says, let's say the guy's not living there 30 days, so you don't have to give him moss chitim, but you got to give him bread. Everyone needs bread. Every ani deserves bread. And then he writes in the next piece, even a Talmud Chochem who's potter from all of the taxes of the city, he has to pay the tax of moss chitim. So, you know why? Because this is not a tztaka halach. In Hilchot Tztaka, you can tell me people that don't have money are potter. This is Yom Tif. Everyone's mechuyav b'simchas Yom Tif. So Meila Zoktim Zolti, this is the raya that this is not a Tztaka halacha. This is a Yom Tif halacha. A halacha Yom Tif. Even someone who's a Talmud Chacham has to pay.
But I don't think that because of the chiyav matzah, which is a, which the ani has the responsibility to kind of do anything to get it. So that's why you would think that that's what this is in concept, not just the general halacha, but
yeah, but the question is, why am I mechuyev to worry about him? That's not my problem. I don't have to worry. I don't have to worry about a guy who can't buy tefillin for himself. Pashtus. Right. I mean, if you don't have tefillin, you don't have tefillin. I feel bad for you, but I don't have to go out and give you.
But you don't have to even. You don't have to go to the tapa. You don't have to. I'm saying you don't have a special rule in tefillin.
Right.
To sell the shirt of your back.
Right. You don't have to buy matzah either.
But
the only dalakosis. Only dalakosis. You don't have it for matzah. Believe it or not, matzah, which is the rice, you don't have. You don't have your potter. You can't do it. So therefore, here, because my chiv simchas yomtiv requires me to make sure you have simchas yomtiv. That's the way Ebzolti understands. Very, very good shmak epshan alumnus. Now, if you look very quickly in 25, the Mishnah Berurah writes over here, ubi nesedu aminu l'chalak lahem kemach, we get flour, shayidei zeh mikar v'ani yoset tvei, v'shir hanesinu hu kifit tzarchoi l'chol yimei ha-Pesach. It's whatever he needs for all the yomtiv. Uposhet demu ani godol, the guy's really poor, v'ein loy b'mal ha-afos ha-matzah, tzarchli degam demei ha-fiyah. If you just give him flour, he can't do anything with the flour. You got to give him money to get matzahs. You got to really give him needs. You got to give him whatever he's lacking. You got to really provide for what he needs.
It seems to be that yayin would be more important.
Yayin he has to do himself. Yayin's got to sell the shirt to get the yayin. This he doesn't, so you have to help him get the dalak crisis. He's on his own for dalak crisis. Now, we'll come back to 26 in a second, but 27 is an unbelievable halacha from Rosh Hashanah. They asked Rosh Hashanah the following shayla. Number 27 says, "Initial Rabbeinu, I demand a halik toimchei Torah be yeshiva shekiblu skum mois." Right, someone went collecting before Pesach. The cost of lehem anoisin shu ever kimcha de pischa. They collect their money for mos chitin. So when you hear mos chitin, the first thing you think about is, you know, matzah. Hey, im aleim neshtamish b'em letzorchei akemach v'hamatzah is tafka koloshan apoiskim. Can you use it not for that? When you give mos chitin, can you use it to help someone buy clothing for their kids? So Rosh Hashanah answered, yes. He wrote the Heshiv Rabbeinu, the Chol Tzorchi Achag LeRabbis Begodim. Said Rosh Hashanah, today when you give mosque, it's not just so the guy can have matzah. We're not talking about people that are mamish so, you know, such a terrible situation that they don't have matzah. They can make the matzah, but everything else they need help with. Says Rosh Hashanah, that's included as well. That's also included in Kimcha de Pesach. So Paskins, Rebnis, and Karelitz also. That giving clothing also is included in Moschitim. I can't say Cholamai trips are included in Moschitim. That I don't know if you have to give for, but clothing definitely is a very expensive thing this time of the year. According to these Gedolei Achrayim, it is included in Mos Chitim to give people so they can have clothing for Pesach as well. The Sharitzin asks a kasha, which to all of us here is almost not a shayla. He wants to know, why Pesach? Why not the Sukkis? Why isn't there Kimcha the Pesach before Sukkis? Why is it only Pesach? So if anyone's ever been to a kosher grocery store, you know the answer. Because the prices for everything is double on Pesach, not on Sukkis. So he writes, the Sharitzin writes number Yud. The Efshev de Mishum Zed Tiktu Kadmeinenu Be Pesach, Yoyis Mishar Golem, Shuz Man Cheres. Because Pesach is Man Cheres. The Yoyishim is Subim Mechalecha Ve'acharu Beisib Reiv Simcha. Pesach is supposed to be a time where you feel like you made it. Ain't Zed Kavel Hashem Shanim Yu Ozra Avim Vitzmeim. When you're supposed to be feeling that kishmaka feeling of cheres, it shouldn't be that another person is not able to feel that. So this way, he can also enjoy a Pesach. Very nice, you're enjoying the Pesach, but this guy is sweating that he doesn't have anything to eat, or he just maxed out on his credit card, or whatever it may be. So in order so everyone can be feeling the freedom of Pesach, you give. Says the Mr. Burr, I have a much simpler reason, because you can't eat chametz. Umatza in a matzah called kachul hasig liknas. It's not so easy to get matzah, right? Today I think it's going for the machine. The ham matzahs are going for around $30 a pound. V'emel yechinu layak or yimei pesach hashem yisha berav or yochel levidei kilkel. He says because you got to make sure he has before, because it's not like you can just grab something out of a cabinet. There's no such cabinets. You got to make sure everything's prepared. So I would have answered more that this the again obviously the Mr. Bird didn't have the, you know, nearly what we have today, kosher the Pesach, but today all the kosher the Pesach things that we have are very, very expensive. So it's an expensive yomtiv. So therefore, the minhag is that we give before Pesach. Okay, that's the answer. Now the Mishnah Berurah also writes something in number 25. At the end of 23, he writes something very important. He writes, "V'shir hanesin l'tzorach laharich al kol echav echav lefim emayne." You obviously have to figure out your own financial situation. You're not mechuyev to go into debt to help someone else make Pesach. Ve'ela hamishtamtim atzma melitin kemachanim. This is Mr. Brewer talking. If someone decides to, I'm not going to partake in a moschitim. He can't force me. He can't enforce. I'm not going to give. He writes, "Yesh ovin biyodam." Big avir. You have to know, anim wait a whole year for this. And if you're going to leave them in a bad place, that it's not going to be good for you either. So it says the Mishnah Berurah, make sure everyone partakes in giving to Moschitin. Make sure you don't forget to give. It's something very, very important. Okay, so that's something that you can call slash minhag chiyuv, depending on how you learn the Rambam. The Nitta Gavriel brings down in number 28 an interesting minug. Yesh noigim lasi seder yom kippur katan be'erva shchedish nis. Although most of the year, most of us do what we don't do a yom kippur katan. Although Abraham Kanevsky writes in all over that it's a very big thing. Whenever people ask Abraham Kanevsky, what can you do to, you know, for bracha v'atzlacha, he says do yom kippur katan. That's what he writes all over. You see in all the Jewish papers, they always publish it. He also has the beards. He has a lot of things. Also, there's another thing now. I think when guys go to see him, you have to have your sleeves rolled down. I don't think he sees people and after sleeves are rolled up. If Yeshiva Bacher has his sleeves rolled up, I don't think he'll see them. Someone told me this. That's his another thing. Also, he holds, now that I wear watches, that's another thing, that he holds that a watch is leisilbash. And the way the story goes is that if you look in any picture of Abliyashev, his shver, he's always wearing a watch. Abliyashev had a watch. So the time he waited until Abliyashev was lifted to come out with his psak because he didn't want to go against his father-in-law. But he thinks that watches, although today they make men's watches, is considered a begadish. I don't understand it. I don't claim to understand it. But that's what they say over Bishamim. Supposedly that's another one of his very big, his big things are watches. He thinks it's begadish. Okay? His father will definitely wear a watch. If you look in all the pictures, Rabbi Yashav was always wearing a watch. I don't know. I think today that's not followed here, at least in America, that men do wear watches. So he writes over Yom Kippur Katan, although it's not normally done on Kislev, Teves, we do it on Nisan. The many shuls, some yeshivas also, they have Yom Kippur Katan for Nisan. This year it's going to be on Thursday, because Erev Shchedesh is Friday, so we always push it to Thursday. So many places have a minute that they do Yom Kippur Katan on Rosh Chodesh. In the Sefer Kinyan Torah B'Halach, he brings down a really interesting minig, that in Groys Varden, the minig was that on Erev Rosh Chodesh Nisan, the Rav used to give a hesped on all the people who died within that year. Interesting minig. He used to give hespedim on Erev Rosh Chodesh and kol ha-gedoylim sheba'oylim sheniftru b'shan azu. Anyone who died that year, that would be the time to give a hesped. But Mamad Gdoili Ha'ir, all the big Rabbanim would come. They write over that the Admir, Abal Avas Yisrael, the Vision Rebbe would come. That was another minhag that they used to do for some reason, they would do it then. The Shulchan Aruch Paskin is the number 30, that we don't say Tachan during the month of Nisan. Many shuls have a minhag, they stop saying Tachan already this week. If you daven in those Chassidish slanted shuls, they already stop saying Tachan this week. Why they stop saying Tachan this week? I don't have a good answer. The answer is because this was the Zayin Yemei Amaluim. This was, they would put up the Mishkan and take it down. Put it up and take it down. On Aleph Nisan was when they finally left the Mishkan off. That's Vayhi Bayayim HaShemini, the beginning of Parsha Shemini. So that's why many Chassidish shuls or slanted Chassidish shuls, however you want to look at it, they don't say Tachan Rebeti this week. But the Shulchan Aruch says clearly not like that. The Shulchan Aruch says, Ein Eifan Alpneim B'chol Chodesh Nisan. You got to wait till Chodesh Nisan to stop saying Tachan. That's the minhag that we follow. We don't say Tachan, we don't say Sitkascha, we have no Hespedim. There seems to be a machloekis mechabin ramo. What type of tanesim are you not allowed to have? The mechabin sounds like only tanesi tzibur, but private tanesim would be mutter, while the ramo holds even private tanesim are not allowed. Why is it no tachanun? So that everyone knows the Magen Avraham's reason, which Mishnah quotes, is because roiv chodesh. Since most of the chodesh is no tachanun, so it's a rule of roiv chodesh. There's a beautiful piece of Aruch HaShochan, the first stickle Aruch HaShochan, and Simitav Chavtesi has a beautiful, beautiful arichas, where he writes not like a regular dying that he was. He writes much more of a hisairis. He talks about that it's not because of roiv Chodesh. He thinks that the whole Chodesh has certain Kedusha to it, because the whole Chodesh was a learning lesson for the Mitzrayim and the Jewish people, how HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world, and there's no Mazal. A beautiful, beautiful piece of Aruch HaShulchan. A must read before Pesach. The first couple of Simen Tov Chavtes, the first couple of pieces, I think it's Aleph, Beis, and Gimel. A beautiful read where he discusses the beauty of Chodesh Nisan and the lessons of Pesach. A very, very nice piece where he disagrees with the Magen Avraham. He thinks it's nothing to do with Rav Chodesh. It's because the whole Chodesh has Kedusha, because the whole Chodesh represents this message of our Kodesh Baruch Hu runs the world. Okay. There's another minhag that the Mishnah Berurah actually brings la halacha. Mishnah Berurah writes, V'toiv likris b'nisim b'chol yerim ha'nasi shalai. that the 12 days of Nisan that you should read from the Nasi day, Ubiyam Arishan, Ubiyam Hashani, whichever it is. Ubiyam Gimel on the 13th day, Pashat Baloich, at Kenosel Asamaner. Now the Mishnah Berurah doesn't say he's supposed to take out a Sefer Torah for that. He just says he's supposed to read it. He's supposed to read it Mitarech HaChomesh. Amongst the Chassidish communities, there was a split amongst various Chassidims, should you take out a Sefer Torah or not. So if you look in the Kuti Ma'arich, he quotes, V'yesh mefakifikim b'minang hazeh, some of those that were very against taking out a Sefer Torah, they in the Christmas Sefer Torah b'tzibah b'lei bracha. It's always problematic to take out a Sefer Torah when you're not going to make a bracha. This is part of the same problem about taking Sefer Torah out for Pasha Zohar. We don't just take out Sefer Torah just to read. So he writes over here, he quotes a Marsham, who says, he says that there were two great Chassidish Rebbes who used to take out a Sefer Torah for Pasha Zasim. Who were they? One was the Sanzi Rebbe, the Divrei Chaim, and the other one was Reb Yukasil Yehuda from Siget. Okay, so two great Chassidish Rebbes. The Divrei Chaim was a very choshev Chassidish Rebbe. So since the Sanzi Rebbe used to do it, no, that's why many Chassidim today take out the Sefer Torah also. There's also different minhagim in when to read it. Some people, let's say for example, if you have a Monday, Thursday, do you take the Sefer Torah back? Or do you leave it out and read it then? That's also, Reb Tzvi Pesach Frank has a tshuva where he discusses what's better, what's worse. But some Chassidish communities today talk and read it from the Sefer Torah. In the Sefer Meseris Moshe, which is written by Reb Moshe's son-in-law, they asked Reb Moshe about this. And Reb Moshe's response was like this. V'heshiv Rabbeinu, she'be'emes havi avlu gedoy l'mashenogu kamanoshem nikra b'Sefer Torah pashnesim. Reb Moshe thought it was not right. You can't just make up new Kriyas HaTorah. He definitely can't make a bracha. But it got cut off over here. But Reb Moshe said, if you're just going to take it out and read it, no, that's not so bad. So just not, but no brachas, for sure no brachas. I don't know of any shul that reads it with brachas, but there are definitely Chassidish shuls who take it out, and they actually read it from a Sefer Torah. The way it goes is that they bring a raya from an Arizal. They bring a raya that the Arizal used to do Shtayim Mikra from a Sefer Torah. So they say the same way the Arizal did Shtayim Mikra from a Sefer Torah, you're allowed to do Parshat Nisim from a Sefer Torah. Which the Chirin, not such a good sushtal, because Shtayim Mikra is a Chiyav. Chiv the Rabbanon based on the Gemara Brachas. Ashenkin, this was really presumably made up, but that's some Chassidish shuls do. Okay, let's talk about matzah. This time of the year, everyone knows that matzah is not allowed. I was last Friday night. I was eating, and someone came into my house. They saw you eating matzah. He's yelling at me, "You're eating matzah!" I said, "What's wrong? It's not even Rosh Chodesh yet. It's not even the accepted minhag of the Mishnah Berurah. What's so wrong with eating matzah?" And on top of it, I told them, "Look at the box. I'm eating chometz to get matzah." Okay, so let's try to understand this all. Maker adin the Ramah writes in Shulchan Aruch in Mitzvayin Aleph, "Avo matzah shiyotzim abalayla matzah that you can use to fulfill the mitzvah at Seder, asurim lechol kol yom arba asur." That type of matzah you're not allowed to eat all erev Pesach. The earliest time that matzah is prohibited, and I mean real matzah, is erev Pesach sometime. The big machloikis we're showing him when. Does it start from the night before or does it start the next morning? Mishnah Berurah paskins haynu ma'amor hashachar. It starts from Alois HaShachar. Whenever Alois HaShachar really is, you have to know, based on what we've spoken about all the time. But it starts from Alois HaShachar. That's Me'ikar Adin. By the letter of the law, up till Friday morning, I can eat hand, shmura, best matzah in the world. Up Thursday night, if I want to have a sandwich, I can have matzah without a problem. The first time I'm not allowed to have matzah is Friday morning for breakfast. Says the Mishnah Berurah, V'yesh no'egim shleilechol matzah m'Rosh Chodesh. There's another minute. We don't have matzah starting from Rosh Chodesh. Now, Reb Moshe has a famous tshuva, the Gemara Moshe, where he writes the minhag already from 30 days before. But the Mishnah Berurah does not bring down the minhag. That's brought down in Chag Yaakov, it's brought down in Achronim. The Mishnah Berurah decided not to bring down that minhag. Says the Mishnah Berurah, "V'kasav Achronim de matzah nefuch aikfula." If you have a bubbled matzah or a folded matzah, "av shemachmir ba'al chashve kachametz," even though we don't use it for lal seder, we treat it like chametz, "kibavor b'simitav samacham nekomakam osel achil mamra shachar." That type of matzah you still can use because it's technically kosher matzah. Because your machmir, it doesn't make a difference. So let's say, for example, let's say you have a chassidish guy who would never in a million years use machine matzah for the lal seder. No chassidish guy in their right mind would ever use lal matzah. And lehepach, no yekah would use hand matzah for lal pesach. So would they be allowed to eat the other type of matzah on erev pesach? The answer is mistama, not, because they know that the push comes to shove, they would probably use this for pesach. So the question is two shiles that come up. Shaila number one that Ephraim Greenblatt discussed at length. What happens if, let's say, this Friday night, you come home from shul and you have a challah roll and that's all you have? No other lecha mishnah. And the only other lecha mishnah you have is good old-fashioned matzah from last year. Real matzah. I'm not talking about the chometz tikka matzah. I'm talking about real hand shmur matzah that you've been eating for the entire year. That's all you have for lecha mishnah. What do you do now? So the question is, we know that in lecha mishnah, it's supposed to be royal achila. The question is this really royal achila? Although I'll choose not to eat it, but can I use it if it's not royal achila? Achrayim talk about taking frozen challahs out. Right. So Mizama discusses taking out a frozen challah. Many Achrayim told him all about this. Shmuel Kamenetsky's grad in Mekel. He thinks you can use a frozen challah. He thinks it'll become royal achila. It'll be royal. Maybe right now it's not, but it'll get there eventually. But this matzah is not royal achila, right? Ach, it's a minute. So Rabbi Frank Greenblatt quotes from a bunch of different Achrayim. He writes like this. V'yididi agrein b'chaim Kanevsky shlita, his friend b'chaim Kanevsky, kosav li bazeh, no, since it's a minhag, minhagim are binding. Although it's not a chiv, it's only a minhag, but this is a real minhag. You have to be matan neder. Therefore, you're not allowed to use it for lecha mishnah. However, he writes that the Deber Tzina Rav and the Menashe Klein both disagreed, and they thought that's going way too far. It's only a minhag. Lecha mishnah is meikar adin. It's medina de gemara. It's much more chashiv. This minhag doesn't beat it out. So Frank Greenland passes the lachol ma'isa who lechem pasha de b'shul minhag kolish kaze in litchas lecha mishnah vimkein lefize yesh loy lekachas hamitzvah hamatzes be'er pesach lecha mishnah. So, Paschas from Greenblatt, if let's say, for example, this Shabbos, you have a question of that or nothing, use the Lecha Mishnah. Rabbi Yashiv says the exact same thing. Rabbi Yashiv writes, for Lecha Mishnah, it's mutter. Rabbi Yashiv says, even let's say, for example, you have a pressing reason. Let's say someone's on a diet, and they don't eat regular bread. So, Kenzan, they can eat matzah up till Erev Pesach. The bigger shaila that is, what about what we call Chametz Dikka Matzah? Most of the matzah that you buy today, all year long, says in it not to be used for Passover. Now, does that really mean you can't? Or it just means they're not, it just means they're not telling you yes or no. Technically, klap eshmaya galia, it's very possible that it is kosher. It's possible. There's no way to know. It just means they're not careful because they don't care. So question, when it says on big letters not to be used for Passover, can I eat that matzah? Can I use that matzah this Shabbos? So Ephraim Gilad also has a tshuva about this. And he writes this. He quotes over here from a bocher, Chaim Zalman Whitman. I happen to know the family from Memphis. He writes this, that he thinks it's mutter. Why? The mashma, the rak matzah haruy lepesach. What was the lashon of the Ramah? You can't use anything that you can use for the Seder. I can't use this for the Seder. I won't even have this in my house on Pesach. So therefore, if it's not royal Seder, it should be mutter. V'roitza litan dulayecho shomatzah kietov v'yecho. It should be okay. Then Rabbi Frank Greenblatt quotes from his uncle, not the Greenblatt, who's Zog Zinshtak is still alive today. He's known today as the expert in Sheamus. If you want to know how to write a get, or Ksuba, so he's one of the experts today. People call him up all over the world to discuss these things. That was Ephraim Greenblatt, who already passed. His uncle is Rebnata Greenblatt. So his uncle Taina, that he thinks is also Mutter. Why? She'in kosher le Pesach, yesh lezeh tam acher. He thinks you're allowed to even eat an Erev Pesach. He thinks for sure it's not a problem. And then he quotes over here from Rebbe Uzband. Rebbe Uzband also thinks it's Mutter. He thinks it's not included in it. And therefore, he really thinks Me'ikra Adin, you would be allowed to eat non-chametz dikka matzahs for sure during minhag time, which is Rosh Chodesh, and possibly even on Erev Pesach. The Tzvi Pesach Frank has a shtickl of Mikra Kodesh where he's not willing to go so far. At least on Erev Pesach, he thinks you can't use chametz dikka matzahs. But Ephraim Greenblatt thinks, then he quotes at the end, maybe you have baris ayin issues. Okay, fine, putting that aside. But I would feel very comfortable telling anyone, and I'm going to do that probably in my house this week, eating chametz dikka matzahs on Shabbos, which is only a minhag, I think that's completely permissible. As rules Rebbe Yashiv, and as rules with the Nitta Gavriel, and he quotes the Satmar Rebbe. The Satmar Rebbe used to use Chametz Dikka Matzahs after Rosh Chodesh. So I think, in Sikkum, Halachah Maaseh, I think Chametz Dikka Matzahs are mutter, I think, probably till Erev Pesach, and even possibly on Erev Pesach. That, I think, is a little bit more complicated. But matzahs that are taka kosher, for example, let's say you use Shaloi L'Shma Matzah. Shaloi L'Shma Matzah is not kosher for Lel Seder. Would I be allowed to use that? Some Tzibir Rebbe talks about it. But that's a shiloh. But I feel very comfortable ruling that if you're going to eat Chametz Dikka Matzahs, I think you can eat it up till Erev Pesach. I would not eat on Erev Pesach. Because in Erev Pesach, it's Me'ikra Adin. Oh, why?
It has nothing to do with time.
It does, based on a Marsha and Psachim. There's a Marsha and Psachim that everyone talks about, that the Marsha over there says that it has to do with you want it to be, you know, fresh. Right. So if it has the exact same taste, it's going to lose the excitement. So Greenblatt makes the argument that the taka tastes differently. Right? The Chametz Dikka Matzahs taste differently than the Pesach Dikka Matzahs. So you'll have the taste.
But you said it's either Chametz Dikka or it's not Chametz Dikka. Right. So if we know that it takes more than 18 minutes, whatever, fine. Who cares what it tastes like? It's Chametz.
I agree.
But we don't know. What's that?
So the Ramah, based on the Ramah, it shouldn't matter on taste. The reason why taste plays a role is because they bring in this Masha'im Psachim. If you don't bring in the Masha'im Psachim, so then you rule with the Ramah, it should be totally in Yoitzah or not Yoitzah.
But is Chametz Matzah really Chametz? Or you're saying it, Chametz Matzah, they put in the same machine as
I'm not sure. The mice, you can't use it on Pesach. It's ain't a royal.
But you can't use it on Pesach. Easter and Pesach. Why? Because we don't know.
I don't think it's the same level as matzah kefula and matzah nefucha. And matzah kefula, that's what the Nitzan Gavriel writes in the bottom, number 42. He writes, "Dafilu matzah kefula and matzah she'enu muchzekes bekashrus en kepeid alachem arah Pesach. Uber Pesach atzmoy luchayra api denir de mutter. You'd be allowed to eat it. Maizu we machmenatu." But this stuff, you're not going to eat the stuff in Erev Pesach. You treat it like chametz.
But we call up the factory, find out.
Fine, maybe.
Minutes.
Maybe. And a chanami.
Like
so that's a shiloh. So they came out a few years ago with a very geshmaka sefer. Yeah, so matzah balls are different than matzah mil. There's a gevaldika sefer. I urge everyone to buy it. Rabbi Ribiat, who everyone knows for Hilchos Shabbos, so in 2013 wrote a great sefer on Hilchos Pesach. It's in English. The Mar Mekomers are not as in depth like it is in Shabbos. He doesn't have four volumes; he has one volume. But he has it's a terrific sefer, great sefer, terrific sefer. It's great to have it for all year long because he talks about kashering and haggadah. A great sefer to have. So in that sefer, he discusses. So let's say, for example, on Erev Pesach, you want to eat gebrochst, you want to have matzah meal. So he writes the halacha is like this: you can't have cookies or cake that's baked with matzah meal because baking still has a shem pas, but anything cooked you could. So let's say, for example, you're going to have, let's say, gefilte fish. So you cook into the gefilte fish, you cook matzah meal. So that's okay. But baked is a problem. So cookies and cakes on Erev Pesach, it has to be non-gebrochst, even if you eat gebrochst the whole year, or the whole Pesach. But if you're going to be cooked, let's say like knedels, where they're cooked, or if it's something that's cooked, that's mutter. He says there are those that are machmer even for that, but I think the minig is not to be so machmer. But baked is a problem. You can't have cookies and cake. I remember you always have to ask when you get a cookie on Erev Pesach. Again, so if you're buying in the store, so it says in the box. But when you're home and your wife bakes something, you always have to ask her, was this the batch with the matzah meal or was this the batch with the potato starch? If it's the matzah meal, you can't have it on Erev Pesach. You can have it on Pesach, but you can't have it on Erev Pesach as a fulfillment of this din of eating. Even though, again, one could argue this is so far removed from matzah. Like this is, you know, no one looks at this as matzah, but the maisa, the minig was that we don't use anything that technically has a shei matzah on Erev Pesach. So you gotta eat the potato starch ones instead of the gebrochst ones, at least on Erev Pesach.